The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday. And we meet again for another special episode of You're Welcome. Today brought to us by the good folks at the WWE Network. Now, guys, we talk a bit of pro wrestling on this show, don't we? But some of you need a little more WWE in your life. Well, you don't have to look any further than the WWE Network. It's an online streaming service where you can stream every WWE pay-per-view live. Okay, this comes with the price of your service, roughly 10 bucks a month, and all the pay-per-views are live. If you guys have ever ordered a WWE pay-per-view, you know you're getting about 3 months worth just in that. You can watch tens of thousands of hours of video on demand. They archive the libraries. I mean, you can go back to my childhood. Rowdy Roddy Piper, the Junkyard Dog, Big John Studd, Andre the Giant, the Iron Sheik. It goes back even before that. Honky Tonk Man. Some of the great Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Jake the Snake Roberts. I mean, go on and on. Their entire library is at your fingertips 24 hours a day. Access anywhere, anytime, on any device. That includes games, consoles, TVs, phones, tablets, computers. All right, you get the point. But here's the deal. Right now, through June 18th, we have a special offer just for listeners of Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. New subscribers can get a two-month free trial when they sign up for the WWE Network at wwenetwork.com/Chael. Your 2 months free is going to include WWE Money in the Bank on June 17th as WWE superstars compete for a shot at the championship that hangs high up on a ladder. Plus, Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax for the Raw Women's Championship. You're also going to get WWE Extreme Rules on July 15th, where for one night only, the WWE throws the rule book out the window and lets the superstars compete in matches where anything goes. So get over to wwenetwork.com/Chael to start your two-month trial for free. You guys are welcome for that, by the way. That's free. No strings attached. Old Chael's done his part. All right, what's happening, guys? Let's get into this a little bit. I've been feeling so bad all week. Just crummy and under the weather. But I'm starting to get my energy back. I woke up today, and I read a headline. There's been a lot going on right now with fighters that are feeling they are not being promoted. I don't totally know what that means or what they're hoping for, but I think that I can get you pretty close with my assumptions and guesses. They haven't been totally clear, but a theme that has been going on has been placement on the card, and that's a real thing. The fighters are not wrong to be competitive and want to be higher up on the card. They are right to do that. And we've seen some notable fighters who have been main events before, co-main events before, and they're sliding down the card, and they're taking notice. Alistair Overeem comes to mind. He's on a pay-per-view. He's headlined pay-per-views before, multiple times. Great fighter, great presence, and now he is going to be on what's called the prelim. And the prelim is largely looked at as an insult, and I don't think that that insult is right. I don't think guys should be insulted by that, but I do understand the competitiveness of trying to work your way up the card. I would just offer for you that if you're not the main event or the co-main event, and those come with some special promotional opportunities, which is why you really want to be in there. Financially, it can change some things if you are a main event. It will likely change some things if you're co-main event. But it comes with some media opportunities. And I can tell you as a fighter, those were always important spots for me. And with the UFC promotion specifically, when they do a countdown show, they won't just do it on the main event. They will include the co-main event. So if you can find yourself in one of those spots, you're now going to get to be part of the countdown show, which is heavily watched. Very well produced. Great show for promotion reasons to build your brand and get your name out there. important. I would offer to you, though, if you're not in one of those two spots, anywhere else on the main card isn't necessarily the best spot in terms of getting viewership and eyeballs on you. Being on a prelim, in this case, which will be aired on Fox, is likely to have more eyeballs on you and a little bit more exposure. You may want that and you may not. You may go, look, I don't care. There's a stigma around it, and I don't want to be part of that. I won't tell a fighter how to look at that. I will just offer to you that it is not always an insult. Quite the opposite. I'm going to give times that Uriah Faber was the main event of the prelim. Conor McGregor was the main event of the prelim. That actually happened, the debut of FS1. Conor McGregor headlined the prelim. Did great numbers. Did great things for his career. So I will just offer to you that somewhere along the way, that prelim's gotten looked at a little bit wrong. And the one thing that the UFC specifically does that a lot of people still have not realized yet is they will put on four shows in one night. They will first put on a show on Fight Pass. That's where you have to go. That's the destination. That's where it lives. They will then, at a time in their career, they were doing Facebook. You guys will remember the Facebook fights. You would then go into the Fox card or the FS1 card. Well, that's going to come all the way with an FS1 prelim main event. That's the spot that Uriah Faber had taken that I just referenced, or that Conor McGregor had taken that I just referenced. Those are very good spots, but those are a show. People always look at it as just one show because you open the doors one time and you set up the cage one time. This is where everybody has gotten so confused on the business side of MMA, where the reporters just can't understand where the profits are. I go, wait a minute, I know what you did at the gate. I got a good guess on what you did on pay-per-view. And then they think that they know your business. They've never caught on to the fact of, no, for one setup cost, for one venue cost, we're getting three shows. We're going to three different outlets. And if they understood how distribution works, they would understand this is the pinnacle of the expression, having your cake and eating it too. They then will roll over into a pay-per-view portion. The athletes sometimes may need to look at that as a compliment and go, okay, well, I'm on this part of the show, but I am the main event. And that's a really good thing. And I saw yesterday, while I was sick, I was at home, I was laying in bed, and a piece had come out with Joseph Benavidez, and he was in a similar spot to Andre Arlovsky, in that he's on a card, former main eventer, top guy in the world, but he's been pushed down the card. He wasn't crazy about it. And I'm not trying to talk him into it. I love the competitiveness. I love that these guys want to be on top of the bill. I would just offer to you, don't forget, you're still in a cool spot. You're still getting to go out there. You still are part of the show. You're still in the organization. I like the frustration. I like that guys keep their eye on it. I've always thought there's a lot of championships out there, and fighters always get locked in on that 12-pound gold belt. That's a great championship. Absolutely. Great goal to have. But there's other ones too. There's other ones that aren't stated, that aren't glorified by the media, but you as an athlete, as a business guy that's trying to make it in an industry, you got to make sure you see there's other goals. Somebody's going to be the king of pay-per-view. Somebody's going to be the king of the live gate. Somebody's going to sell more t-shirts than the next guys. All of these things are things that you should be thinking about as a fighter. They're all things you should be tallying up. Not just the championship. And generally, they do go hand in hand. Generally, the champion is going to be selling the most pay-per-views, is going to be doing the highest TV ratings, is going to be moving the most merchandise. But not always. I could name you plenty of examples where that is not true. So you want to be keeping your eye on all of these things, and I think the fighters are. But along the theme, which we saw with Overeem and now recently with Joseph Benavidez, came a headline that said, why is Dana not promoting certain fighters? And to answer that question, and let's try to answer it, but to answer that question, we've got to be real disciplined on explaining first the parameters to the definition of the meaning of the question. What does it mean to promote somebody? What does that mean? Dana, and when I say Dana, carries over to Scott Coker, and it carries over to Vince McMahon. These guys do not have a magic recipe to make someone a star. And the day I learned that, as clear as that is to me now, at this point in my career, when I was younger, I was at the first ever UFC summit. And Dana walked into the room, and he touched on this. And I've never forgot it. And everybody sat back like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. I was one of those guys. He said, hey guys, I don't know what it takes to make a star. Everybody looks back. We all thought this guy was the decision maker on who becomes a star. He goes, no. The recipe's different all the time. Bring Brock Lesnar in one time, he's doing record numbers. And then he brought up Chuck Liddell. And he said, we ran Chuck out there over and over again, and it just didn't work until it did. It took Chuck 7, 8, and 9 fights before, boom, he could be on top of the bill. And it was a really good lesson. There was, as simple as that sounds, but there was a good lesson in that, that, yeah, you're right. 2 + 2 = 4. The opportunities that you give to one guy, and it works. You could give to another guy, but it doesn't. Or you got to give those same opportunities, but you got to do it 5 times as long. And Dana said, look, the best I can tell you is to win your fights. And he broke it down a little further from that. And he said, because if you win your fight, you will be given another one, which will give you another round of media opportunity, another round of exposure in front of a live audience, another round of exposure in front of the television audience. And that exposure over and over again is the one commonality that the stars have. But the only way to get that opportunity is to make sure that you just stay involved. And the only way to make sure you stay involved is to keep winning. That was very straight. And it was brilliant in its simplicity. Because if guys were listening and paying attention to that day, and I was, it told you about everything you need to know for the business. Told you just about everything you need to know. And so when I do hear some of these fighters saying, hey, I'm not being promoted, I don't fully know what it means. And I'm not against the fighters. I'm with the fighters. But what does that mean? I can tell you what it means to me. I can tell you what I think promoted means. I think it's PR. I think it means how many media opportunities are you given? How many rounds and tours through the radio stations? How many appearances on Jim Rome's show? How many appearances on this show? How many times can you get over to Ariel? How many times can you do the car wash at ESPN? It's called the car wash, where they run you through from boom, 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 all the studios. Get you in front of millions and millions of people in one day. FS1 has their version. Flow Sports has their version. How many times can you do that? I think that's what people mean when they say promote me. I think. But I don't know. They may just want Dana to come out at press conferences and say, boom, this is the next big thing. Everybody start paying attention to him or her. Perhaps it's a combination of those. But I don't fully know what it means when they say I want to be promoted. And one of the reasons I'm confused is I do think it's a definition that's a little bit open to different people. I'm going to use Benavidez here as an example. He's feeling underpromoted because he's not on the main card. If you were to rewind just a few weeks, Amanda Nunes felt she was being underpromoted. However, she was the main event. So if we look at those two fighters' explanation and definition of being underpromoted, it's not the same. Because for Joseph, it was placement on the card. And for Amanda, she had the top billing, but didn't think there was enough media fare put around it. One of the things that the athletes miss, and guys, stay with me on this. There's going to be a big payoff at the end of this story. going to give you a major lesson at this if you just stay with me. But we got to lay the groundwork first. One of the things that the athletes miss is it is not completely up to the promoter. Dana White, Scott Coker, Vince McMahon. I got to bring Vince in on this. I just have to. No, it's a different product. They're doing the same thing. And I know that Dana White and Scott Coker both respect the business model that Vince has laid out. So I think that he's appropriate to bring in on this. But when you have a mega fight, what goes into that? It's never just about nationality, ethnicity, or personal grudge. Generally, one of those three things will be there for a mega fight, but you could have one of those three things or all of those three things and still not have a mega fight. What do you need? You must have the media. Something has to capture the media's attention. And when the media runs the guys out there or the gals out there, the fighters in question, they need to see a good ratings bump, and then they'll do it again. And they'll do it again, and they'll do it again. And they'll do it all before the finish line, which is the fight. And those are the things that go into having a really big fight. You have to have the media. And so many people think, in this case and in this article where they're speaking specifically about Dana, they think that he can just push a button and control that, but he can't. He has people that work with him. So he has his idea, who he wants to put forward. He's going to do his end of it, but then he has partners within the media that he needs to also come to the table and come on board. He could have a big fight. It could be at the wrong time. He could have a huge fight, but it's at the same time as the Final Four in NCAA basketball, and those sports shows just simply don't have time to cover it. So there is some politics there. There's some logistics, and there's some moving parts, and you can't plan your business around those. You just don't have these perfect storms that you can manipulate ahead of time. It comes back to the expression, the show must go on. You build your show, you book your date, and you move forward. And a lot of it is hope. You hope that things line up. And hope is not a great strategy, ladies and gentlemen. But sometimes it's all you got. So you go with hope. And you move forward and you see what happens. Now you have to understand this if you're a fighter. You must absolutely understand what I'm saying. That it takes more than just a blessing from the guy at the top. I feel that that should be very obvious. Dana, I will assure all of you, Scott Coker, Vince McMahon as well, are not being stingy with making somebody a star. They're not sitting up in the loft and pulling the ladder up behind them. No, those guys are leaving the ladder down and they want people to climb up too. They just can't make it happen. They're great with strategies. They're great with plans. They're great at moving forward. They're great at providing opportunities. But then they need some things to come together. Once you understand that this is the rules of the game, you can begin to manipulate the game. You can begin to play it a little bit better, okay? So once you understand, now I'll go back to Amanda. So Amanda was very sweet. She was very nice, but she was also very candid in saying, I don't feel like I'm being promoted. And the one thing that she missed, she was the top billing, she was the main event, the show was literally named Nunes Versus, right? The one thing that she missed is the media. The promoter cannot force the media to come to the table. They can only offer a fight and then see if the media does come to the table. What motivates the media? Well, the fans. The media in these shows that I'm referring to, the Jim Rome show. Well, Jim wants to put things on that his fans want to hear. I'm guilty over here, too. I want to put people on that you guys want to hear. I have to tell people no on a daily basis. Can I come on? No. And I don't want to be a dick about it. I just simply want to say no and move on. I don't want to give them the answer, which is no, you're not well enough known. It would take away from the show. I don't want to have you on and have to explain to the audience who you are. I want people to come on the show that the audience already knows. And there's other shows, smaller shows. I don't mean for this to sound arrogant. I want to just be candid with you guys. There's smaller shows where somebody can go on and start to get some of that little bit of exposure. Hey, here's who I am. Build from there. And then they would come on a show like this. I don't say that with any arrogance, guys. I just need to be candid on this because I'm going to make a fantastic point for you. It's all going to pay off for you in just a moment, all right? But you do have to understand that that's the way that it works. So when Amanda comes out and says, hey, I'm not being promoted, when she's the main event and in the top, none of this is against Amanda. I'm just using her as an example because I know that you guys can relate, and she just fought. And had all of the billings. It had everything that the promotion could do, all of the posters, all of the countdown shows, the headline, the tickets literally had her name on them, everything that the promotion could do, they did. They then need help. They then need help from the media. That is where I would offer to you that Amanda or the fighter in question starts. Start with the fans, always. Always, always, always. I know fighters that want title shots to this day. And they will go to Coker. They will go to Dana. They will go to Vince McMahon and ask for them. That's one way to get it. They can write you in. There is such a thing as the power of the pen, but that's a simpleton's approach. A much better approach is to go to the fans first. Make sure the fans are behind it. Go to the opponent. Make sure the opponent wants the match. And maybe not in a nice way. I don't mean you call him up like a buddy. Hey, let's go do some business together. Blindside him. It's the fight business. Get a reaction out of him. Get the fans to react to that reaction and come to the promoter last. Go to the promoter last and drop it in his lap. Here, this is done. Fans want this, media wants this, I want it, he wants it. Oh, okay, well, let's sign here. That is, to remind you, exactly what Floyd and Connor did. That is exactly how that came about. The last one to come to the table was the promoter, who thought it was a silly idea at first. But those guys went to the fans. And then they got to the media. Promoter's got to say yes. When you understand that this is how this business is done, and it needs to be done in that order, even when the promoter says yes, look, if you don't follow my theory here, yeah, a lot of people get fights that they didn't do anything intellectually to earn. They just worked their way up the rankings, and a show was coming up, and boom, they took the spot. But those weren't mega fights, and some of them were world title fights. Some of them were the biggest opportunity that athlete will ever have that he worked his entire life for. Sacrificed his entire life for, and it'll still fall flat because he didn't follow the appropriate order. He got his opportunity, but if he would have done the order right, go to the fans first, bring the media in, go to the promoter last, if they would have done that, it would have been a huge fight. It would have been a huge opportunity. So when you understand what the promoter has, okay, and all the promoters are different. Coker and Dana don't have the same thing. They have different things. Maybe you like that. Maybe that's what makes you choose your promoter. Great. But with whatever company you're with, you want to look at what they have. What do they have digitally? What do they have on cable? What do they have on satellite? What do they have on pay-per-view? What kind of media partners do they have? You want to learn all of these things as soon as you sign and go into a company, to one of these organizations. And then you want to start manipulating it and exploiting it from the ground up, not from the top down. Don't march right in to Dana's office and ask for an opportunity. Start at the bottom. Build something, then take it to him. Or he'll come to you. I want to give you an example, and here's your payoff. And I've wanted to tell you guys this story for a little bit, and I thought, hey, I'm not going to. I'll let this stay private. But I think it's appropriate right now. Okay, you always want to steal from one another. Anytime you see somebody doing something that's great, you want to take his idea. And he doesn't have to be a great fighter. Don't just steal from the world champion. Everybody's doing something. Sometimes it's a technique. Sometimes it's a strategy. Sometimes it's something at a press conference. Sometimes it's something in the walkout. But it's something with that athlete that will catch your eye. And you go, wait, let me study that a second. What's he doing there? And you always want to take those ideas. So I will tell you right now, for young fighters, there's plenty of guys you can look at. plenty of guys that you can go back and watch tape on and film on and go to YouTube and some of these outlets. And I'm not just talking about the punches and the kicks. I'm talking about the personas and the personalities, because in MMA, we are in the entertainment era right now, and I do not see it ending anytime soon. Listen up. If you are out there living an active lifestyle, training, traveling, and hustling like the gangsters you are, then you're going to need a mattress to keep you cool and relaxed so you can get that much-needed rest. With Bear Mattresses, you're going to get just that. Guys, Bear Mattress, that's B-E-A-R, is designed for optimal cooling, comfort, and muscle recovery so you can sleep better and perform at your best every day. In fact, Bear Mattress sleeps up to 7 times cooler than regular foam mattresses. Their mattresses use an FDA-determined sealant textile technology to improve muscle recovery, sleep quality, and athletic performance. And they use eco-friendly materials. All mattresses are made in the USA. Every size is less than $1,000, starting at $540. And you get a 100-night risk-free in-home trial. 100% money back if you're not happy, plus free shipping. Can I explain to you guys what that is? You get to buy the bed. They're going to bring it to you. You get it for 100 nights. That's over 3 months to make up your mind. If for any reason you don't like it, they give you your money back. Come on. You can't get an offer like that. And even better, for listeners of this podcast only, you guys will get an additional $100 off any size mattress by using the code POD100. That's POD100 at checkout when you go to bearmattress.com. That's BEARmattress.com. Use the promo code POD100 and get $100 off. So rest easy, cool, and comfortably with Bear Mattress. BearMattress.com. Use the promo code POD100. You're welcome.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Guys, if you are digging You're Welcome with yours truly, Chael Sonnen, and you need more rapid-fire takes on the sports world from the most expert of voices, then take a gamble on RJ Bell's Dream Preview each week on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get everything you need on the biggest games each week from pregame.com's Wise Guy Roundtable with host RJ Bell and some of the biggest names from the world of sports betting. Subscribe and listen to RJ Bell's Dream Preview exclusively at Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and Podcast One app. Also remember, rate and review. We always appreciate your feedback.
Now, back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
The entertainment era is upon us, and it's the best era this sport's ever had. Numbers have never been bigger, and opportunities have never been more abundant. And you'll see the media that wants to talk about, well, the ratings are slipping. Yeah, the shows are up tenfold, okay? Bellator's doing 10 times the events they used to do. That's not a true number. You get the point. UFC's doing 10 times more shows than they used to. Not a true number, but you get the point. Doing a lot more shows. So, yes, if you want to be a pessimist and say, well, the numbers were a little bit down. Yeah, it's supply and demand. Got a good demand. We've upped the supply. It's going to lower your numbers. But if you go back years ago where each organization had one show a month, brought in 500,000 viewers on their show, now they bring in 470,000 viewers, but they do it 4 times a month. So it's 4 times the business. Now, that isn't some brilliant thing that Chael just said. That's math. But the media in this sport can't do math, and they don't understand the business. And I'm not even upset at them for it at all. But they literally, until I just revealed to them that these companies are putting on multiple shows in one night for one setup cost, And if you study the distribution model at all, you will see the value of that, and you will see how impossibly and how rare that is, and that no other sport has figured out a way to do that, to get three and four shows in one night, then you will start to understand the economics of MMA. And I am not going to go any further into it than that for them. Because in 25 years, they haven't figured out the business. I'm not going to help them beyond that, but I'll tell them that. Now, I'll get to my point. When you're looking at athletes of who you should steal from, who you should copy, who the future is going to be, I would offer for you Kevin Lee. For right now, for a guy who is going to have a shelf life for another decade, not only will Kevin Lee have opportunities within this sport, I believe he will transcend the sport. I believe he is the most likely guy we see right now to be making an A-level action movie in the future, to be a brand ambassador for top clothing lines and top companies out there. I believe he does a lot of things right. But, guys, there's a little more to the madness, and I want to share this with you guys because this is what he did, okay? Kevin Lee was a great athlete. Kevin Lee was hungry. Kevin Lee was young. Kevin Lee was brash. Great. Plenty of guys fit that mold. Why is Kevin Lee main eventing shows? Why is Kevin Lee already fought for a world championship? Well, he took a step back and he said, I'm not a big enough name. The UFC's PR department has not wrapped their arms around me. They're not putting me on these shows. They're not calling up and brokering and facilitating for me to go out and be on the top shows. I'm not high enough up on the card to default into those opportunities. So what am I going to do? Sit here and feel bad for myself or figure out a way around it? So he figured out a way around it. And you know what that was? Real simple. All the great ideas are always simple, guys. They're always simple. Kevin Lee became his own PR agent. Kevin Lee began contacting shows. I was one of them. I didn't have an interest in having Kevin Lee on for the very reason that I laid out for you guys earlier. I don't want to bring somebody on unless you know exactly who he is and you find him interesting. At which point, a year ago, Kevin Lee did not fit that bill. So Kevin Lee goes, well, I really want to do the show. And he was persistent, and he stayed on it, and he was friendly, and he was nice. Simple laws of life. And then he sweetened the pot. He said, well, Chael, instead of calling in like some of your other guests, I'll go to the expense of booking a plane ticket. I will fly out there to Portland. I will walk into your studio so that the quality is better. Okay, fine. That's a fine sell for me. That's not what did it. It was the fact that he was willing to do this. You just can't tell a guy no anymore. You cannot tell a guy that is willing to do that no. So I did it. And he came in. And it was a huge show. And the next time I saw him, guess where he was? On Ariel's show. But not on Skype like everybody else. He was in New York. In the studio. In the chair. Next to Ariel. Now, Ariel's done that with guys before. But Kevin Lee a year ago? Oh, please, come on. Zero chance he's getting on Ariel's show in studio. Zero, none. But he beat the system. He didn't wait for the PR team to recognize him. He didn't wait till he was a co-main event or a main event where he defaulted into those spots automatically. He went and did it on his own. He went and got Ariel's phone number. He went on the internet and booked himself a ticket. He packed a bag and he went out to New York, all as an investment in his own career, realizing, if I can get to the fans and get to the media, I can get to the promoter. Kevin Lee fought for a world championship and signed on for that fight 4 days after he left my studio here in Portland, Oregon. Now, he would have been given these opportunities as soon as he signed that contract. But he did it the other way around. He booked his own media tour. No managers. I didn't get contacted by his He booked his own media tour to his own expense, got on an airplane, figured out where to get workouts on the road, packed up his toothbrush, and set out. That is a guy that understands the promoter has certain pieces, and those pieces are in place, and they can do wonderful things. But they're only pieces. You have to figure out how you're going to get yourself on those bases. Once you get there, how are you going to get back? Once you get there, what are you going to do that's going to make you different, that's going to make the fans want to have you back? Kevin Lee did that here, didn't he, guys? You guys all heard him on this show. Heard him a couple times. I've seen the numbers. I know how much you guys loved having him, and you would now love to have him back, wouldn't you? If I surprised you with Kevin Lee today, you'd be fired up. You go, great, love listening to that guy. A year ago, you didn't know who he was. That's okay. But that's the multi-million-dollar question. How do you go from a talented, hungry, up-and-comer to a recognized name and a recognized voice and somebody that people want to look forward to listening to? Real easy. Just get the opportunity. Start going on shows. Start being funny and friendly, whatever your shtick might be, whatever your personality might be, and get that exposure. But when fighters say that they're not getting the promotional pushes, they do miss the part. They do miss the part that the promoter cannot make that happen. He can offer it. He can offer it to his media partners. He cannot make them take it. They have their own interests, and their interest is not solely to serve that of the promoter. It is incumbent on fighters to promote themselves. And they will get very lost in that concept. What does that even mean? Well, you just said it about Dana White, you just said that he should be promoting you. What did it mean when you said it? I don't know the answer. I think I'm right, though. I think what that means is they want more media opportunities. I think. It can't just be placement on a card. It just can't. That's not promotion. That's just placement on a card. And those spots get very competitive. And when you sit down to put it out there, you don't just look at a top-ranked guy. You look at the most popular guy. Who is the most popular, guys? I'm doing this card. That's the absolute most popular. That's who I want closing the show. I think we all can make sense of that. Then if I got a pay-per-view portion, who are people most likely to pay for? Okay, I got to do that math equation. Again, very simple. This isn't sophisticated stuff. But somehow it does appear to be going over some guys' heads at times. I offer you the example of Kevin Lee. And I did even see when Kevin Lee from this show, use Arrows as another example. I did see when he was doing that where people were pushing back. I did see some of that on social media going, hey, why is he getting on those? Why's Kevin Lee got these opportunities? He must have a friend over there in the PR department. Wouldn't it be a bad thing if he did? That's called networking. If you can make a friend in the PR department and you can lean on that friend someday, good for you. But I'll reveal for you, that's just not what happened. He was sitting at home frustrated. He put a plan together and then he executed on his plan. He went outside the box to promote himself. He didn't like the opportunities that were being given to him. He didn't think they were enough. So he put a plan together. He was on Rogan's show as well. I should mention that he was on Rogan's show as well. I know that happened. Haven't even asked him, but I know I'm right because I had the same experience. He got a hold of Joe Rogan. Said, hey, man, I'll fly out there. Love your show. Got a whole bunch of people that listen. You're an influential guy. And Joe said, okay, how do I say no to that? One example, but I think it's a really good one. And I don't like that the guys are feeling slighted. I don't like that the guys are working hard. I hope none of this comes off as that message where I'm taking any kind of pleasure in saying, ha-ha, you're not on the main card. No, my goodness, I would never. But I would encourage you to look at it and go, well, what have you done to change that? And please don't tell me your record. Please don't say, well, I won my last three fights. Just, I beg you, don't tell me that. Can't be that. What have you done to engage the fans, to bring them along the journey? What is it you've done? Some guys are currently thinking that means you got to talk trash. I keep hearing that. Oh, to promote yourself, you got to talk trash. That isn't true. It's not bad. I won't deny that that's a piece of this sport. But that is not true. All you need is to bring fans along the journey of the ups and the downs and the in-betweens. And the first thing you've got to do that is have somewhere you can go and tell your story. Very first thing you got to do. You got to have a microphone. You got to have a camera. You got to start making friends with the hosts. You got to start begging And if none of that works, do what Kevin Lee did and barnstorm the studio, even if it's in three different states, and he's got to go from Oregon to New York to California. But I will remind you, he went from Oregon to New York to California to the main event. He lost. And guess where he went from there? Back to the main event. And he won. And I can tell you where he's going to go from here, back to a main event. The other reason I love to offer this Kevin Lee example for you guys is some of you are going to go, well, Kevin Lee, I want to do what Connor did. Connor's the biggest star there. Connor's the biggest name. Don't get lost in all of that. Don't get lost in that. Steal things from Connor. Absolutely. Then you want to look at who's coming next, who's coming on his doorsteps, and why. And then you want to go take from that guy. That's how you stay cutting edge. Randy Couture fought till 47 years old. And so many people asked him, how? How'd you do that? I'd always read these interviews from afar. And he tried to answer the question, but I'm not even sure Randy knew the answer. I feel like I have the answer. I feel like maybe even I have maybe a better impression of why his career lasted so long, even than he does. When he was out here in Oregon, he would always go train with the kids. He would go to Centennial High School specifically, and he would wrestle with the high school kids, 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. And it was probably awkward being a grown man and having to go in there and try to keep up with these kids. But it's how he made sure nobody passed him up. There was never going to be that next generation of cutting-edge techniques and intricacies that was going to pass him up, because he stayed with them. Same thing needs to go when you're marketing yourself. Don't just look at Connor or go look at what Rhonda did. Make sure you're looking at who's coming next. Vince McMahon is very famous for telling his guys, I will give you nothing but an opportunity. I have these platforms and I have these outlets and I have these abilities to expose you. I will put you on those platforms and outlets and give you that exposure. But what you do with it to maximize it and capitalize on it is up to you. And if you don't do it right and it doesn't resonate, I give that opportunity to someone else. There's nothing cold about that. That's just a very direct approach, that ratings matter in the entertainment business. And when we have a scratch, we don't make the same mistake twice. So you will be given an opportunity, but make sure you maximize on it. And it can be frustrating for me to hear fighters say, yeah, but I won four fights in a row. If you didn't leave a mark to where the fans know that you made and won those fights, then it didn't happen. Perception is reality. And to prove my point, it goes to the opposite side of the tracks. There are guys who have lost four fights in a row, but you forget. You don't even know. You forget. You just know you want to see that guy. I can't remember what Vitor's record was towards the end before he retired. I can't remember. I watched all of his fights. There was just something else there with him. He was lucky. He was an anomaly. He was one of those guys, the outcome didn't matter. Wanderlei Silva would be a fine example. The outcome of Wanderlei's fight just don't matter. People are coming back. There's something else there. Brock Lesnar would be a fine example. There's something else there. And I'm not saying that you need to hold out your entire career and all of your hope for these anomalies. And if you can't do what they did, then you have somehow failed. No, not in the least. I'm just saying, make sure that you understand the pieces and the order and then manipulate it however you will. But if you sit back as though the promoter is dad and dad is going to look out for you and all of the kids the same and he loves you all equally, and that there is fair treatment, you'll be missing the mark. The promoter has to answer to his media partners. The media partners are going to look at the ratings. The ratings are reflected by the fans. So I would encourage you to understand your first step needs to be the fans, and then go from there. Kevin Lee broke the rules. He looked at the rules. These media opportunities go to the main event. The scraps that the main event guys are too busy to do go to the co-main event. And that's it. Then we're going to do some digital stuff and a little bit of programming and a dot-com interview here or there for the rest of the card. And we're going to look forward to the next event. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Kevin Lee looked at the rules and said, that doesn't work for me, so I'm going to come up with something else. I've got a cell phone and a credit card, and I'm going to figure it out from here. And he did. It's just one example. But I think that it tells you guys a lot. I think it really tells you guys a lot. I think there's a great lesson there. Guys, if you're looking for a car, it does not matter if it's new or if it's just new to you. Go to TrueCar. www.truecar.com. Or if you've got a smartphone, most of you are listening to the show on a smartphone right now, just download the app. Go into your search engine, type in TrueCar. Here's how it works. When you're getting ready to buy a car, okay, go in virtually, build the kind of car you want. Type in your zip code. It will tell you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. That becomes your price. Fees, accessory, everything built in, guys. No crap. I don't do crap down here. I don't do extra prices and then come tell you guys about it so you can find it out later. You will be connected with a TrueCar certified dealer. You will know what your price is. They will know their obligation to you, which is to make sure when you get to that car lot that that car is there and ready and waiting. You are going to save time. You are going to save money. For the first time ever, there is transparency in the car buying world. Do not buy a car. I cannot tell you this any clearer. If you have any form of fiscal responsibility and you owe that to yourself and your families, do not buy a car, new or just new to you, without checking out TrueCar. Now, we're not done. We are not done. I was given some news, and I was given this in the form of an audio recording that I have not yet listened to. I know the contents of it. I have not yet listened to this. This was left for me by Jacob. So we are all going to listen to this together. And I suppose I should share with you. Jacob has left the show. Really great guy and a fine young man. I am very happy for him. He got into the apprenticeship to become an electrician, which is a very competitive field. And there was a lot that went into that with his application and his interviewing process, and they grabbed him and they made a wonderful choice. But he has left us all an audio to listen to, and he had a final message, I believe for me, but certainly for you guys. Let's take a listen to this together.
What's happening, everybody? Man, I miss you guys already. I wish I could be there live to talk with you like I always have, but as things turn out, let me just get into why I'm not there right now. As you're listening to this right now, I am actually working on my first few days as an electrician apprentice, which is really exciting. I'm very excited, looking forward to this in the future and where that's going to take me. But enough about that. Let's talk a little past history real quick. I don't like to get nostalgic or wishy-washy about the past too much. I've never been that kind of guy, but these last couple weeks have been, I couldn't really help it. It just sort of happens that way. You know, looking back and coming into the studio and setting everything up and producing the show, it's been muscle memory. And then all of a sudden not doing it is really, really odd. And I was thinking about this and thinking about when I started. I was not actually the first producer. Many of you guys probably don't know this or don't remember it, but when Chael first started, I was not a producer for the show at all. I actually came in. What was it, man? I was not the first producer there. And then I think there was one other guy, and then he had to leave. But I was a backup producer for maybe a couple weeks, and then he had to leave, and then I became the main producer. Well, that was for when it was the show was going on once a week, and then it moved to two times a week, or two shows a week. I was only a producer for one of them, and it moved to three shows a week briefly. I would do maybe one of them, or maybe two, just depending on what the need was each day. It really just depended. And then the other producer had to leave, so I ended up doing all the shows, and it moved back to two, so... I've been in the background a lot longer than a lot of people realize. I think it's been maybe 3 years now, or maybe even four. I'm trying to remember. I'm going to say at least three, safely three, but possibly four. But it wasn't until maybe almost a year ago now that Chael actually took a gamble on me, and I actually got my own microphone. Or the freedom, I should say, to use the microphone right here. It's always been in my face. I just never used it. But one day, Chael was like, hey, pull that up. We got to talk about this. And I remember it was right before the whole Mayweather-McGregor showdown. It was like the best possible time to actually start coming on and talking with Chael on the show. But I'm really grateful to Chael for giving me that chance and taking a little gamble and risk on me, because he didn't know. I didn't even know. I didn't know how this was going to work out. And Chael could have any time told me to shut up and put the mic down, but he didn't. And then it just kind of grew from there. And I've enjoyed every second of it, even before I was talking. This was one of my favorite shifts to do all the times I was working at the station and in the studio. It was a great time. I want to tell you guys, I'm not, even though I'm going to be working as an electrician and I'm not going to be here, I'm not going to say goodbye. I hate goodbyes, and I don't think they really even work. I mean, it's like when you have that, to me, I view them like this. It's like when you have that breakup between your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, and then you say, and then you're like, we're done with each other. We're done. It's over. You go to school the next day and they're right there. It's just awkward. It's weird. It's just messy. And even if it's not on bad terms or good, even if it's on good terms, you know, maybe they're moving. Maybe your friends are moving to a new state, and it's like, man, I'm not going to really probably ever see you again. There's no reason for me to come to Alex there except to see you. But then you maybe run into them that one day, and it's just weird. I never liked that. I never liked saying goodbye because it felt like a door closed. This isn't a door closed. This is just a door open for me personally. I'm not closing doors. That doesn't mean, but it does mean I won't be on the show, but I'll still keep in touch. I'll talk with Chael on the phone. We're going to have some meals together. We'll stay in touch. He'll keep you updated on what I'm doing, and if I have time, maybe I'll even call in. We'll see what happens. But this is not goodbye. This is just me saying I'm doing something else right now, and it's really exciting. And I want to thank all you guys for listening to when I had to say something, as dumb as it would be sometimes. We all have those moments. We do. It's true. And I would be absolutely amiss if I did not say thank you to you, Chael, Mr. Gangster. I've enjoyed and loved and appreciated every second of this. I am very grateful for being able to work with you. And before I get any mushier, that's all I've got. That's all I've got to say. I will see you guys around. Peace.
Well, there it is. And I, you know what? That was beautiful. That was very nice of Jacob. Some great things to say about all of you. You know what? He gave old Chael a compliment there, too. That made me feel good. And I'm going to go with Jacob on this one. Goodbyes are tough. So we will just simply say, until we meet again. So, ladies and gentlemen, until we meet again. For Jacob, one final time, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
There's never a dull week in the world of professional wrestling, so to keep up on all of it, be sure to subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast here at Podcast One. I produce two new shows each week. Every Thursday on our flagship show, I'm joined by a co-host from the wrestling journalism field to talk about the hot topics in WWE and elsewhere. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or on the Podcast One app or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.